Hello. You're listening to Speaking of Urology, the official podcast for Urology Times. In keeping with our commitment to deliver urologists and allied health professionals expert clinical analysis, practice advice, and policy perspectives, each episode of Speaking of Urology will bring listeners timely and informative insights from leaders in the specialty to keep practitioners up to date while helping them practice more efficiently. I'm your host, Ben Saylor. In this episode, Dr. Richard K. Lee discusses the recent European Urology Focus paper, New Endoscopic In-Office Surgical Therapies for Benign Prostatic Hyperplasia, a Systematic Review, for which he served as senior author. Lee is an associate professor of urology and healthcare policy and research at Weill Cornell Medicine Department of Urology in New York City. Could you discuss the background for this study?
Sure. So the background of the study has really been a way to assess and kind of put together a synthesis of a number of the new technologies that we've been seeing for BPH. You know, we've had a real explosion, you know, renaissance, if you will, of new technologies that really allow us to treat BPH in a different way. And with some of these newer technologies to really, you know, take the treatment, you know, into the office rather than the operating room.
And what were some of the notable findings from this paper? And were any of them surprising to you or your co-authors?
Sure. I think, you know, the findings that were notable, I think the modalities all seem to work well. You know, I think the take-home message is that for the appropriate patient, you know, each of the technology works well. Now, there are limitations, right? So, you know, UroLift, or you know, prostatic urethral lift, water vapor therapy, or Rezum, and you know, the iTin device. You know, if you look at the studies, they're all, you know, reported in very specific cohorts of patients, and you can see that reflected in the AUA guidelines, for instance. And you know, as we have gotten more facile with the technologies, you know, we're beginning to see reports of clinicians, you know, pushing the boundaries of each of those technologies in terms of, you know, what's been done before versus, you know, what they're trying to do now. But I think, you know, probably the important take-home message is that at least for the short to medium term, you know, and you have to say that because these devices haven't been around as long as, you know, some of the tried and true technologies like TURP, but at least for the short to medium term, they seem safe, they seem relatively effective. I think that's an important message. Now, time will tell how durable these technologies turn out to be. Time will tell, you know, if pushing these technologies into more difficult patients, you know, is something that's worthwhile doing. But at least for the, you know, index patient that seems to be amenable, you know, within the criteria to be treated, you know, they appear safe and effective.
And which of the BPH modalities examined in the study are you currently using? And just anecdotally, you know, could you share some impressions of them?
Sure. So I probably tend to do the most in terms of prostatic urethral lift. You know, the UroLift, as it's known, is, you know, is FDA approved for prostates up to 100 grams in size. You know, that's a newer indication. You know, anatomically speaking, it's probably easier to do the UroLift in patients with a certain anatomy. So, for example, not having a median lobe makes it easier to do, although there are data out there suggesting that, you know, you can accommodate, you know, even that type of anatomy, you know, a few machinations. And I think, you know, for the index patient with a relatively small prostate, you know, perhaps now expanded to 100 gram, you know, in size, you know, it seems safe and effective. You know, there are one of the studies that we cited, the BPH-6 study, actually compared, for example, the prostatic urethral lift technology to TURP. This is a multi-center study run in Germany by Christian Grotzke, who's a good friend of mine. And you know, I think that if you look at that head-to-head comparison, which is really one of the few studies that are out there that looks at one of these new technologies compared to you know, what we have already in place, you know, I think that probably the take-home message I would give is that both groups of patients who undergo treatment, be it prostatic urethral lift or TURP, better. The degree of improvement in terms of urinary symptoms was probably enhanced in the TURP group, but cost of, you know, greater morbidity and a longer length of recovery. The prostatic urethral lift group, on the other hand, may have experienced a little bit less improvement compared to the TURP group, but they recovered faster. There's zero to date, zero reported cases of retrograde ejaculation compared to TURP or even the other, technologies that are out there. And for some patients, that's a real boon. I think, it is a little bit in the eye of the beholder. What are you looking for, as a patient, both in terms of efficacy, in terms of side effects and morbidity. I think the technology is great, and this is probably the message that I'll be repeating again and again, that, each of these technologies is great, for the appropriate patient. I don't personally do Rezūm in the office, although one of my partners down the hall does. I think he gets good results, but again, in the index patient. Some patients will come to us and say, look, if I look at the Rezūm versus the prostatic urethral lift trials, I see a different rate of retreatment, for instance, right? And, I think a word of caution in terms of when you interpret the studies, and that retreatment rate varies, in fact, across the three technologies. But I think an important thing to remember is that these are not head-to-head trials, right? Each of these studies or each of the groups of studies was either done, to a placebo or, in the case of ITIN, most of the studies are single-arm studies. So it's, in the absence of a head-to-head comparison, it's challenging and difficult to really make an assessment of saying technology A is better than technology B versus technology C. I think the important message is that, each one taken within its own, separate category seems reasonable, seems safe, seems effective.
Do you and your co-authors plan, similar research, on these some of these new BPH technologies along the line, and if so, what would the focus be?
Yeah, I think, I think the area is ripe for study, right? New technologies always lead to new opportunities, and, as people are trying to figure out how best to use, we're going to be, I think, as a field, trying to figure out, what is their place in the armamentarium, if you will, of treatments. We have new technologies like Aquablation also, that are online, and so how do we choose to how do we choose to offer a patient, let's say, a Rezūm versus an Aquablation, right? How do we choose, for let's say, an X patient, not the extraordinary patient? How do we choose to offer a patient a prostatic urethral lift in the office versus an ITIN device, right? I think some of that will be cost, right? Some of that will be patient preference. Some of that will be provider comfort, how comfortable are you with a specific technology compared to another? And some of that will be availability, an Aquablation device, which we didn't study in this manuscript, is a capital purchase, for hospitals, right? So that's very different from one of these more office-based devices that we, particularly studied or emphasized.
Is there anything else that you feel our audience should know about the findings of this paper?
I think it's a wonderful time for BPH treatment. People always say that progress comes in fits and starts, and I think BPH treatment is probably one of those examples of that. I think, the explosion of medical therapy in the earlier decades, followed by a lull in development, and now more recently, this real plethora of new tools coming out. It's exciting.
Be sure to subscribe to Speaking of Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. And you can get the latest in urology news, practice management advice, and health policy updates by visiting www.urologytimes.com. Thank you for listening.